Line workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at lumosity.com. Engineered by Noah Smith and produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight, where listeners like you produce your own program. This airtime is a free service offered to those interested in sharing their knowledge, talent, and passions. This is also a space to audition new programming. Opinions expressed in Open Journal may not reflect the views of the Pacifica Foundation, its staff, board, or volunteers. Information shared on Open Journal should not take the place of appropriate professional consultation. Now it's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight here on KPFT Houston.
Thank you. Welcome to Open Journal. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. My name is Dr. Peg Nosek. I'm president of Healthcare for All Texas. And in my day job, I'm the director of the Center for Research on Women with Disabilities at Baylor College of Medicine. And with me today is Dr. Christine Adams, a psychologist in private practice and a current board member of Healthcare for All Texas. Our third member is not able to join us today, who is Ken Kenegos, who is a nurse, a case manager, and he is vice president of Healthcare for All Texas. Today, we're going to be discussing healthcare reform, and we'll be taking your calls later on in the show. So mark the number. It's 713-526-5738. And mark that so that you can call in later with your questions. We'd like to thank the folks at KPFT for giving us, Healthcare for All Texas, the opportunity to have a monthly show on the Open Journal about healthcare reform. We'll be talking to you every second Wednesday of the month for the rest of this year, thanks to their generosity here at KPFT. And we'll be talking about this very complicated and personal topic. We know that it touches every one of you out there because healthcare is something that affects everyone who has a body, we like to say. We're going to start today by first of all talking about why the two of us who are here in the studio today are single-payer activists. Christine, can you talk a little bit first about what got you interested in single-payer activism?
Well, I grew up as a military dependent, and we never, ever had to worry about getting medical care when we got sick. If you have never, ever been in a position where you didn't have to worry about getting health care or paying for health care, all I can say is it must be like being so incredibly rich and wealthy that you never, ever have to worry about money, you know, because you only have to focus on staying healthy. You know, and if you get sick, you only have to focus on getting healthy again. It is such a stress reducer. And I think that everybody should have that peace of mind and that security. And so that's why I support a single-payer national health insurance program.
Thank you. Well, speaking for myself, I have a physical disability. And although I've been very fortunate to have worked for my adult life, and always, even when I was a child, to have the benefit of my parents' insurance, and now to have my own insurance, my work involves doing research with other people about the topic of disability. And so I've come into contact through my work and also through my personal activism for disability rights. I've found many people in my circle of friends and circle of colleagues who do not have insurance, or they have substandard insurance or access to health care, and often through Medicaid, or they don't have any insurance at all because they don't qualify because of pre-existing conditions. And so I've always found that that's a very unjust situation, and frankly, it outrages me. And when I have fire in my belly, I get very angry. and I want to change things. So that's what's been my motivation to get involved in changing our healthcare system so nobody has to suffer the discrimination of being denied access to healthcare because the insurance company makes a decision that you are not worthy of having access to a doctor. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Why? Just because you have a disability when you need healthcare so desperately, should you be told, no, you don't have the right to have access to healthcare? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. And so that's my motivation for being a single-payer activist. I don't think the health insurance companies have the right to tell us that we don't have that right. Okay, well, we'd like to explain to you now, what exactly is Health Care for All Texas? Christine, would you like to?
Yeah, since this is our first show and we'll be coming to you once a month for the rest of the year, we thought we would start by telling you a little bit about our organization and then the purpose and structure of the show. Healthcare for All Texas, we are a nonprofit single advocacy organization, and we are the Texas chapter of Physicians for a National Health Program. And our mission is to educate the public and the community on how single-payer national health care would provide affordable yet high-quality, comprehensive health care to all of us. We believe that health care is not a commodity that some should have and some should not have. And our vision is that we would have a health care system that's based on six principles. The first one is universality, that everybody would get health care, that it's accessible, that you get health care when you need it, that it's affordable, and that it's accountable, that we're all responsible for one another, that the more people who are healthy, the stronger our communities are. We want health care that is comprehensive. We want a high-quality health care, and we can't afford it without spending any more money than we already do in the United States. And it should be a just system, that it should be equal. There should not be haves and have-nots in our health care system. You know, we also support, as an organization, the 1948 United Nations Declaration of Human Rights that holds that every human being has a right to health care based on those principles that I've already mentioned. The show, as we said, we will be on Open Journal every second Wednesday of the month, and we will, over the course of the year, we'll interview both local and national experts on healthcare reform, and we desperately and urgently want you to call so that we can have a conversation about healthcare reform. We want to expand that conversation beyond political partisanship and also just beyond the abstract theorizing about healthcare reform. We want to talk about with you what the real life problems are in our current system and what are meaningful solutions to those problems, because there are solutions to our problem without bankrupting us or without a bunch of us dying who don't need to die.
Let me interrupt you for just a second to remind our listeners that we're talking live right now on KPFT 90.1, and this is Open Journal. You're listening to Dr. Peg Nosek and Dr. Christine Adams of Healthcare for All Texas. And we're talking about healthcare reform. So please call in with your questions. The number to call is 713-526-5738. So Christine, please continue.
And when you think of questions about healthcare, if you want to go ahead and email us in between these shows, you can email us your questions, your comments, your concerns, the things that you're worried about, because change is hard and we're appropriately cautious about change. We're not sure change will be for the better. So as you think of questions and concerns, go ahead and email us at info@healthcareforalltexas.org. Let us know what your concerns are, and then we're going to use those comments and concerns to help us decide on what to have as the topic for our shows in the future. So here's the question of the day, though, for you callers. What do you think health insurance companies do for our healthcare system that cannot be done without them? Why do we need them? What do they do for us, you know, that we can't do? Keeping in mind that every other industrialized country has some form of national health program that does severely limit the role of for-profit health insurance companies in their healthcare systems. So call with your questions, with your comments, 713-526-5738.
Okay, thank you very much. There's a lot of confusion about what single payer actually is. What we mean when we say a single payer national health insurance program is not necessarily socialized medicine. I know when I talk to people about it, they say, oh, well, you're talking about socialized medicine. And that, you can already see their hackles coming up. And especially if you're talking to someone in the medical profession, they get very defensive when they hear that term. Well, when we talk about single payer, we're talking about a healthcare system in which a single public or quasi-public agency organizes the health financing. So they collect, this agency would collect the money and pay the claims for healthcare, but the delivery of the healthcare would remain largely private, just like we have it now. So the vast majority of doctors will be in private practice, and the hospitals will be private and non-profit entities. If we had a single-payer system, we could save at least $400 billion each year. And that would include the elimination of deductibles and copays. Now, can you imagine living without deductibles and without copays? That would save the public an incredible amount of money. That's where we all go into bankruptcy. I mean, so many people are on the verge of bankruptcy just by having to pay all of the deductibles and copays. 95% of us would pay far less and still get comprehensive health care. So we have some calls, I believe, so maybe we should go to take one of our callers right now. We have someone calling from Lamarck named Johnny. Johnny, could you go ahead and tell us your question, please?
Sure. Congratulations to you guys for finally getting your regular program on KPFT. It's well deserved. And you guys are the correct spokespeople for the movement. It's not a question, it's more, it's like an experience I've come to realize recently. Can you hear me?
Yes, certainly. Go ahead, Johnny.
When I talk to folks in the neighborhood, for example, my approach that I take now is I come at it from the money point of view. I say I don't like the idea of having to pay for retail insurance. I'd much rather pay for health care. We need universal health care, not retail insurance, because insurance companies rip people off. They make their money by denying people health care. You don't have that under universal health care. And then I ask them what their concerns are. And then based on what they tell me, then I determine which of pamphlet I might pull out and give to them that gives them some facts and some figures, and that keeps the conversation open. I find that's the easiest way for me to avoid the socialism scare tactic that's embedded in their DNA. What do you all think about that?
Oh, I love it. How did you get so well informed about single payer? I'm curious.
Because I'm a member of Healthcare for Texas, even though I haven't paid any dues lately, but I'll try to remediate that.
I love it. Well, we don't even ask you for dues. We just ask for a goodwill offering.
Donations, I mean.
That's an excellent approach.
Donations of time and effort are always appreciated.
That's it. But we
see the P.O. box listed on your website where I could mail my money order?
No. Yes.
Yes, by all means.
I want to give the post office some business.
Oh, thank you. I love it. But you know, that, I find, is the most powerful advocacy. It's one-on-one to dispel the myths and the misconceptions and all this misinformation. Thank you so much, Johnny.
Thank you, guys.
That's it. Thank you. Okay, we have another. Oh, wait, we need to make an announcement first. Let's remind our listeners that you're listening to Open Journal. I'm Dr. Peg Nosek, and with me is Dr. Christine Adams. We're with Healthcare for All. all Texas, and we're talking about health care reform, and specifically about the need for a single-payer system in the United States, just like all other major industrialized nations have. Call us with your questions or comments at 713-526-5738, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to KPFT Houston. The time is coming up on 9:45. Here's a quick look at traffic and weather. On Beltway 8, northbound after Wood Forest, there's an accident involving one vehicle, and the left shoulder is affected. And on the 610 West Loop, southbound from I-10 to Westheimer, the travel time there is about 5.5 minutes. And on the Northwest Freeway, inbound from West 34th to the 610 West Loop, the average speed is currently 43 there. The temperature is 36, and skies are overcast. Humidity is 86%. And today's forecast for Harris County, mostly sunny, with a high of 52 degrees and a low of 35 degrees, with air quality in the good range. Please stay tuned after the community spotlight for Bird Note, followed by Wide Open Spaces, and then SOS Radio at 1 o'clock. And now back to the community spotlight. Today's program is Healthcare Rights, the ongoing healthcare debate and future direction. And Dr. Peg Nosek and Dr. Christine Adams are hosting.
Thank you. We're back to our conversation, and we would like to talk some more about healthcare reform. I want to tell you a little bit more about our organization, that we are a healthcare rights organization. We meet monthly, and we would like to invite everyone to come join us and help us to spread the word about single-payer advocacy and the right that everyone in this country has to access healthcare. We have another caller waiting on the line, and it is Nancy from Houston. Nancy, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, I learned from the Whole Mother Show by Pat Jones on Sunday night at 7 that Texas is 49th worst in infant mortality and 47th worst in the United States on maternal mortality. And I learned from Art Browning from the Green Party, he said, we are 50th place in mental health care. And I checked these things, and they are true. And will these problems be alleviated if we go to single payer? Please tell the audience how single payer is so much better than the ACA. And will it save more lives? You talked about the money will be saved, but please tell us how single payer will be better. Will we get better care? Will we lose less babies? Thank you.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for your question. And it is the shame of our country that Texas is at the very, very bottom. Somebody has to be at the bottom. But why does it have to be Texas? I think everyone listening should be really ashamed of this. Now, your question is, will single-payer healthcare system help us to get off the bottom rung of this ladder? I think definitely yes. We have data that would show single-payer healthcare would improve the system for everyone. The problem with the ACA you mentioned, which stands for Affordable Care Act, and we affectionately refer to it as Obamacare, is that, yes, it will help many people, but the problem is that it will not help everyone, and especially in Texas, now that our state government has decided to refuse the Medicaid expansion funds that were coming down from the federal government. It will leave even more people, thousands and thousands of Texans, without any access to health care whatsoever. These are people who have the most limited resources of all. And they will continue to be denied the health care that will keep them alive than others who are working and have access to health insurance to pay for their care will have access, will have the benefit of. So Texas will be left with a very high maternal mortality rate, a very high child mortality rate, infant mortality rate. We have the highest rate of uninsured in the whole nation, which means that we will literally have more people dying in the streets than any other state in the union. What will it take? What will it take before we will finally get out of the street and start protesting this? Christine, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I think if you look at the actual research from years and years and years and years, you'll see that every other industrialized nation has some form of national health program. There are three models for national health program. And these other countries actually, one, they cover everybody, and their medical outcomes are actually better than ours, much better than ours, that they have as good a rate of cures and sometimes better than us. And they cover everybody at half the cost. And it's because they don't allow the for-profit health insurance companies to play a dominant role. They cut out the middleman, and then there's all that money to direct toward actual health care. Plus, you can have a comprehensive system with everybody in from cradle to grave, so you can actually invest money in prevention. And so you, over time, you know, you recoup those costs of prevention by preventing expensive acute care. So a national program, we have the data that shows you have a higher quality health system at half the cost.
Thank you for your question, Nancy. We have another caller named Tag from Spring. Tag, you've been on hold for a good while, and I appreciate your patience. Go ahead, please, with your question or comment.
Yes, I am. I've been led to believe that there's somewhat of a difference between administrative costs that the insurance companies have compared to what a government program is, and I would hope that maybe you folks could talk about that for a moment, and I'll go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tag. Yes, administrative costs currently that are incurred by the insurance companies amount to about 30 cents on every health care dollar. Now, these administrative costs include advertising. They include the cost of the administrator, who is the one who sits there and decides who they're going to deny coverage to. It's a person who makes the decision instead of your doctor about what procedures they will allow and what they won't allow. And the cost for writing the policies, et cetera.
So don't forget the money to lobbyists to keep the laws in favor of the for-profit health insurance companies, and the payments to stockholders, and the payments to the CEOs, who are frequently the highest paid in the world.
Thank you, Christine. Excellent question. I mean, that's an excellent addition. Let me take a break for a second here. Remind everyone that you're listening to Open Journal. And my name is Dr. Peg Nosek. And with me is Dr. Christine Adams. We're with Healthcare for All Texas. And we're talking about healthcare reform. You can call us at 713-526-5738. And not to answer you, the other part of your question is, how would this be better under single payer? In contrast to the insurance companies, which have to make money off this system, and they incur 30% administrative cost, a single payer system, which would be similar to what we have now as Medicare, would incur only about 3% of administrative cost. Much more efficient to operate, for sure.
And I can tell you, with a single payer system, you completely simplify the whole administrative process. Instead of all these different rules for the, you know, 300 to 500 different health insurance companies, there's one procedure, one process. Right now, there are, on average, 12 clerks for each physician to handle all of that paperwork, and that's a lot of money that we could be spending on health care.
We estimate in Texas alone, there are almost 1,000 different private, for-profit health insurance companies, and also across the country, all these different private, for-profit health insurance companies. We are advocating that we replace that with one single payer to eliminate all this duplication and waste. We would like to also let everyone know that our organization, Healthcare for All Texas, will be having an annual meeting coming up in March on Saturday, March 8th. And also we're going to have a training on how you can continue and expand your advocacy for improved health care reform. We're not done. The Affordable Care Act is not the end of health care reform. We have a long way to go yet before we're done with this. And join us and learn about how to continue this struggle. And we're going to have a training that we're calling the Everybody Institute. Everybody in means nobody is out on health care. And so it's the Everybody Institute is going to happen on May 3rd, Saturday, May 3rd. Come and learn more about it. We're having our monthly meeting this Thursday, and you can join us. Go to our website, which is healthcareforalltexas.org. We have one more caller, which is Bruce from Houston. Bruce, go ahead, please.
Good morning. I got to make it quick. I got one comment, which is that I do spend an awful lot of money every year on insurance, most of which I never use, even though I've got a few different conditions and I'm getting older and I'm afraid if I drop my health care, my insurance through my employer, which costs me about $8,000 a year personally, that, something bad's going to happen. So there's that fear tactic. But I'm wondering, in England specifically, don't they have much higher income tax, which is supposedly as a result of the socialized healthcare system there?
Well, they have a different system. They have a, it's like the VA, where the government, basically the facilities are owned by the government, and then the physicians are salaried employees. The single payer, if you'll go to our website, there's a calculator page where it'll show you that you will pay far, far less with a single-payer system. That's really the best combination, and that's why we support that as opposed to the British system.
Thank you all.
Which is not single-payer, then, what you say.
It is, but it's...
It's a different style that I think would not help quality.
Ours would be more privately operated, although paid for by the government.
You get the competition where you need it between the providers. They have to be pretty good for you to go to them.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be with you again next month in March, where we'll talk about more and the Medicaid expansion and how to learn more about advocating for single payer. We're Healthcare for All Texas, and thank you for listening.
You have been listening to Open Journal, KPFT's experiment in community-inspired radio. Since 1970, KPFT has been a unique source on the Houston airwaves. We rely on listener donations. Visit kpft.org to support this station. KPFT listener members are welcome to produce an Open Journal. Prospective producers must fill out an Open Journal request form, which is available at our website with details. The program director welcomes your feedback on every Open Journal. Listener feedback helps KPFT determine what Open Journals are appreciated by the community at large. To get in touch with the program director, send an email to pd@kpft.org or call 713-526-4000, extension 308. Please stay tuned for Wide Open Spaces coming up at 10, and thank you for tuning in to today's Open Journal here on 90.1 KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace.
This is Bird Note. Because they are largely silent now, in winter, we may think that most birds have left us. But many are still here, and, driven by necessity, even the shy and secretive will sometimes reveal themselves. For hunger, like politics, makes for unlikely companions. One such companion found me on a winter day while I was cutting firewood. Slender, crimson-topped fungi march along the loose bark of a downed tree. The chainsaw roars and chatters, spitting sawdust, a loud and fearsome force. Then from under the loose bark, up pops a large grub, as big as my thumbnail, glistening white. And in the wink of an eye, a Pacific wren darts from hiding in the underbrush at my feet and gobbles the grub. The wren's eagerness conveys its great good fortune in finding this feast in the dead of winter. The Pacific wren, like its cousin, the winter wren of the East, finds food wherever it can, sometimes even in the face of apparent danger. And for the surprise and companionship, well, I was happy to oblige. We think of ourselves as the observers of wildlife, but of necessity, and more often than we know, we are closely observed. You can always hear BirdNote shows again on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.